Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach. Tov Shin Ayin Dalet. Parshas B'Shalach is also known in the circles of Yidden. It's known in the circles of Yidden as Parshas or Shabbos Shira, the Shabbos of Shira, of song. And we know very, very deeply and appropriately that this week's Parsha deals with the union of the Shira. Was Yashir Moshe and Israel as Hashira Hazois, that Klal Yisrael sang the Shira Lashem, Ki Goi Go Sus Viroich Voirom Avayom. And this Shira. We sing to, they sang, Oz Yashim Moshe, they sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this wonderful Shira. And we have to understand, Rabbi Sai, it's called Shabbos Shira, very nice, we want to remember it on our calendars, it's different. But at the end of the day, we have to realize it's much deeper than that. As I'll say, in the Zohar it says, Rabbi Yisai, in the Zohar it says the fascinating thing. Say Tchazar Shekol Oy Meshira Sayom Kol Yoyim Mechavin Bo Yizke Lo Oyim Ro Lo Oylam Habo. You'll be zecher to say it in the next world. And it says another in the Sefer Charedim, Mishemechavin b'shiras hayom ve'oimra b'simcha rabo. Mr. Brewer brings this down in the Sefer Charedim. Nimcholam lo yachol avoy noisav. All your sins are wiped out, Rabbi Yisai. The guy sitting there, Yom Kippur, he's banging away. He has to use every, they say in the pharmacies, we have to Yom Kippur, everybody's busy with Ben Gay. Because everybody's pounding their chest so hard, they pound it, this thing, that thing, they take out the Chidor's Vido, the guy's sitting there 64 hours doing Vido, not to make fun, it's a beautiful thing, but take out that Ben Gay. He has pains, you know, all over his chest, and beating it so hard. Begilgul Zeh, Begilgul Acher, he wants a Nimchol Avinoisov, he wants to walk out of Yom Kippur clean. And the guy next to him, the next day, says he didn't bang so hard. The tshuva, Yom Kippur, the tshuva, rather. But he said, Shira Aliyah, he said, Arsh Yoshia, when the bang came the next morning, he said, Arsh Yoshia, Nimchul Kol Havi Noisav, all the Avonis go away with Arsh Yoshia B'Simcha Rabbeisav. You have to be here for Arsh Yoshia. But if you're there for Arsh Yoshia Rabbeisav, you should say it B'Simcha. Simcha with happiness Rabbeisav. Why? Because soon you start with starting, and soon when we finish, you go out back. No. Because Oz Yashir has some power that Nimcha Roy Kol Avi Noisav. So you have to understand what's the power of Oz Yashir. There's a very, 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 very difficult question, Rabbi Yisai. Where is every... No, that's a different question. But the Mice is a very difficult question that we have to ask, Rabbi Yisai. That Lamaisa, many Mephorshim asked this question. I see Rabbi Aaron is very, very, Rabbi Aaron is saying, Mr. Rabbi Aaron is very busy, very, he has a whole shtickle on this. Famous shtickle, Rabbi Aaron is Mr. Rabbi Aaron. The Gemara Megillah says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, May Dechsiv, like Korav, Ze El Ze, Kol Alayla. In our week, this week's parashah says they did not come close to each other. They didn't come close to each other. Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael didn't come near each other. V'loy korav zel el zel kol halayla lo doyer nights. Milameit zog the Gemara. Zog the Gemara, what is it, what is it, loy korav zel kol halayla. The Mitzrayim tried to come and get Klal Yisrael, they didn't come near them. They were swallowed up. Says Chazal, Bikshu malachei hashoreis loy mashira. At the time that the Mitzrayim were being drowned in the Yam, they wanted to say Shira. The malachei hashoreis was see what's going on. They wanted to say Shira. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ma'asa Yodai Toiv Im Bayam, Ve'atem Oimu Shira. One second. There are human beings. There's human life being lost now. This is a tragedy going on. Thousands of Egyptian men, human bodies, are drowning and suffering at this moment. You want to say Shira? You want to enjoy and say Shira about the suffering? While they're suffering? Nothing doing. So what's the obvious question right away? It hits everybody. Mom is smack in the face. It hits you. Oz Yoshua Moshe Bnei Yisrael, the greatest of Shiras. I mean, this week with Savi Shabbos Shira. Oz Yoshua Moshe Bnei Yisrael, the Shira is always. Klal Yisrael saying Shira. What about the Taina? People are drowning. They're dying. I said, the Maisa, in the Etzim Hashira Rabbis, we find a tremendous Ivorot, Yisoid. Chal Yisrael stands up in the middle of the Shira, Zekei Livi Anvehu, Elokei Ovi, V'Aroi Mimenu. This is my God, V'Anvehu. We're on Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel Dayan V'Anvehu, I'll be like him. Mahu Rachum, I want to emulate him. Elokei Ovi, he's the father, he's the God of my father, Barum Menu, and I will lift him up, I'll praise him. The Targum, though, translated a very interesting lashon over here. The Targum on the pasuk says, Dein Elokai, this is my God, Va'avne Le Mikdash. Va'anveyu means I'll bring him out. Lashon Nevei. Everybody knows what Nevei is. Nevei means a habitat, a home. This is my God, and I will make him a home. So Nevei is so special. It's the home of Hashem. Nevei. Va'anveyu, and I will glorify him. But Chazarat, the Targum says, Ve'evni le'mikdosh. It means I build a base hamikdosh. What's the connection between the Shir Aleyam, ve'evni le'beis hamikdosh? What's the connection? What's the point? What's the forge that the Targum was telling us that Klal Yisrael was singing to Hashem at that moment, and on their minds they're saying, we're going now to build a base hamikdosh. Yisoid HaDvarim B'Yisad. We want to say the Pashtus. A big Yisoid comes very evident over here. What was Klal Yisrael doing, B'Yisad, singing at the Yam? Another Ha'orah, B'Yisad, as we go along, though, they were singing at the Yam, yeah? But there was also the women that came along, Rabbi Yisai. The women came and they also sang. And we find the women's song was not elaborated on. They just said that, but we know, V'tan lahem Miriam. Miriam came along and she sang, Shira Lashem ki goi go, sus v'roich v'ramayim. That was mamash, the whole Shira of the women. According to some of us said the whole thing, including that, but they just made a synopsis of the Torah. But Miriam came and said, Mashma, that in that encapsulates the whole yusoid of the Shira in those words. Because they were, according to some of them, they said the whole thing, but we encapsulated it in those words. Sus v'roich v'roim avayom. And the yusoid is a boisah. The big yusoid. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a universal boisah. And one of the most important yesoidas besides the bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rabbeinu is that the world has purpose. This world has purpose. There's a reason why we were created. And God created before the creation of the world. One of the things that He created was, what it tells us, there were things He created before was Gan Eden and Gehenna. And that was to realize that you sowed an essential, you sowed. That the world has purpose. That there's good and evil. That a person has to know that he's in this world to do good, to bring out good, to emulate God, and be zircha to the proper reward. And if he's involved in bad, in Ra, then there's another place for him. A little hot, I wouldn't go there in the summer. And not in the winter either. Very hot place. Because a person has to realize that his purpose, the Schar V'Oynish, the Sefer Ikrim and the Marshon in Rosh Hashanah both say, that on Rosh Hashanah, the most important day of the year, when everything is decided, the whole day, or at least the main theme of the day, is the Musaf, Shmon Esser. We say a lot of Pesukim. We blow the Shofar before Musaf, we blow in Musaf. And in that Musaf Tefillah, Rabbeinu, we mentioned the famous three major brachas, Malchios, Zichroinos, and Shofar. Why those three, Rabbi Sam? Says the Marshah and the Sefer Ikrim. They're connected, the three Yesoidites. The three main Yesoidites that every Jew has to know. It has to be ingrained in it. This is Rosh Hashanah. We want to sit now, we want to get the whole Rosh Hashanah encapsulated into what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Every Jew has to walk out of Rosh Hashanah. Mischazek, inspired, it came clear to him, he has clarity in the three Yesoidos, what a person is doing here. And that is Malchius. God is the creator of the world. There's one God, and he runs the world. Malchius, the oneness of God, and how he controls the entire universe. Melech ha'olam, the king of the universe. His kingdom. God is in charge of the world he created. He's in charge. Number two. Shofars. We'll go to Shofars. We want to bring out. Shofars represents, as we know, all the psukim talk about, Torah min hashamayim. God is the king. He created us. What are we supposed to be doing down here? Playing hopscotch and lulu. What are you supposed to be doing down here? That's Torah. God gave a Torah instruction book for what you're supposed to do. That's Shoifras. What's Zichroinus, Rabbi Yisai? Schar v'oinus, Dr. Marshall. Reward and punishment. That there's consequence for all our actions. There's consequence. We do good, we do bad. That's what it's all about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us. He begs us. He asks us. Uvacharta b'chayim. Your job. And the job of every Jew and every person in this world, including the Goyim. Do good. Be successful. Have the schar, the reward. Bring out the good. The whole purpose of the Ra is only as something that we can overcome it, to do good. We see the Ra, we go away from it.
The Ra goes up in smoke when the Mashiach comes. There's no purpose for it anymore. Yitzhar Shechtin. There's no purpose for the Yitzhar, says the Gemara in Sukkim and Beis. The Chol Harisha Kula Ke'oshon Tichle goes out from the world. In this world, what are we doing here? We're here to bring out the good, the chesed, the properness, the righteousness, the rightness of the world, of the purpose of the world, of God. We're here to show the goodness, the greatness of a God. And this is our tafkid. This is the tafkid of every person. But the Yid has even a greater tafkid. The Yid has even a bigger tafkid. He was given a different type of neshama. He was given more mitzvahs. What's the purpose of the mitzvahs? We have so many mitzvahs. What's the purpose? All the mitzvahs, as we learn, is to make us into a more spiritual, more greater, more unbelievable type of a human being that emulates God and represents God in this world. That we are the chosen nation that God took us out of Egypt in this week's parashas. It wasn't just freedom. Let's get out and start, you know, partying. We got freedom. Freedom dances. Show that belly! We came out of Egypt not for freedom, Rabbi. We came out of Egypt to be the nation that shows the world, leads the world, and shows the world that there's a God, there's a righteous God who's running the world, and our job is to bring out His godliness. And our actions, people see. It's His mitzvahs, and we bring out His name, we make His name great. That's our talent, to make God's name great in this world. What people see, our mitzvahs, people see how we act, people see how we do things. They get inspiration. Wow, this must be godly. This must be greatness. This must be a Kodesh Baruch who's in the world. There must be a God. And this is, Rabbosai, the tafkin and tachlis of every person, but especially the Yidus. Oz Yashem Moshe v'nei Yisrael was, you're not supposed to stand rejoice. The malachim in the oil of my Amaz are rejoicing. There's dead bodies taking place over here. What's the rejoicing? But as Yoshe Moshe v'nei Yisrael, we were rejoicing as an inspiration that God's name was becoming great in this world, in this world. God's name is becoming great in this world, and where we come inspired through that. People around us come inspired, the whole Klaizov came inspired. Malachim don't have to be inspired. They're just saying it to give thanks to Hashem. It says, you're giving me thanks, okay, I don't need the thanks. People, my body is drunk. But you want to be inspired. You want to bring out the point. We saw that the trueness of the world, that the good has to be misgabra over the ra. That God took this nation out because power represented the ra, the ra, and the bria. And we have the Torah has to overcome the Ra. And this is an inspiration for us when we see the thing. You get inspired. A human being gets inspired. And he sees that the Ra gets destroyed. And he understands deep inside there's no place for Ra. Ra has to be obliterated. The evil has to be destroyed. And the good has to be victorious. The good has to come out. And when Klai saw God's revelation of the destruction of the evil, and that we who were in the ends of Avram, who were the close ones of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they saved us because of our forefathers. That was a giloy, a revelation to the world that the good has to The good has to be victorious, has to succeed. The good, the toif, is what we should be after. And this is the lesson of Oz Yoshe Moshe, and Jesus Viroich Voyrom of Yom. That encapsulates the whole Gansa Shira. Shira Lashem Kikoi, Sus Viroich Voyrom of Yom. He destroyed the Sus Viroich Voy. He saw the rider. Those riders who represented evil were wiped out, and the good was able to come forth. When they saw that, they realized that now's the time when this whole we're inspired, we're excited. We saw a revelation of God's showing. He doesn't show because he wants to have us to have clear and free choice. Choose between good and evil. The evil represents, oh, he thinks it's just as good as the toiv. And really, it's zero. It's a fantasy. But when the ra gets obliterated, everybody understands clearly. They see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tem is a toiv. There's no ra. And then, they'll makabel on themselves. With that inspiration, we have to go now and build the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash was the place that God resides in this world. And in this world, the Olam, in this world, God's name becomes the greatest. We see clearly, we see Hashem clearly in this world. We see the good override the Ra clearly. That's the Beis HaMikdash. And that was the inspiration to build the Beis HaMikdash. And at this point, because that's the tafkid, bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to this world. Every time we do a mitzvah, Rabbi Zayn, what are we doing? We're showing the world this godliness here. What are you doing with our tefillin? With those phylacteries? With that pair of, what are those strings hanging down on the side of your body over there? You know, the black guy asked you, what's with those strings, Jew boy? These strings, Asher Kedeshonu B'mitzvoyseh B'tzivonu, represents God. The good. That's what it represents. That's the tafkid. Let's go build a base of Migdash. Will we help bring God the greatest representation of Hashem in the world? That's His house. We'll see the good clearly in front of us. Not to see it in a nister, like a oifen, a hidden oifen. Clarity! The world will see God's name dwelling amongst us. Even the goyim came to the Beis HaMikdash. They were inspired. They saw God. They saw good. They saw the truth. They saw the emes. The keili van veyu, the keovi van veyu. The destruction of the evil, that's what we're after. The rejoice in the offering with Sean Rina says the passage. Rejoice, but not just rejoice over the death of the bodies. Rejoice over the death and the destruction of evil. Evil. And that could be very well, Rabbi Zayn, be unbelievable pshat. Why, if you say it b'simcha, Rabbi Zayn, what's an oven? What's a chet? What do we do chet for? Rabbi Zayn, no one here wants to do chet. We're great people, Rabbi Zayn. We're the sons of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. A chet is that we attach ourselves to Ra. We choose Ra. We think that the Ra has some essence. We think it has some purpose. We think it's true. We think there's something to it. And then we come along, and after this, we realize it's garbage. So if we do tshuva, okay, but sometimes you come along and say the Shir of the Simcha, what are you saying? The Ra is destroyed, it's nothing. We're so happy that Hashem destroyed the Ra and the Bria. That's all the Yisrael of Chet. Nimchu HaKol V'Noisa. All your Avon is gone away. Ba'avon, Sus V'Roch V'Rom V'Yam. Hashem destroys the Ra. The Ra has no purpose. The Ra has no meaning. It has no essence. It's not true. It's wiped out. That's why at the end of the parasha, a tremendous war against Amalek, because Amalek came and weakened this in our eyes. This is something that we have to realize, Rabbi Sayyidin. Many of us look around and we look on ourselves, oh, hi, my name is Shlomo Katz. Who I am, you know, I'm a little guy, wear a kippah, and do this, and do that. Who am I? It's not important. There's another face. You know? I was 87th kid in my graduating class, the Yeshiva Toras. No one even knew me, Bailey. The rabbis didn't know me. My principal didn't know me. I bumped into my principal 3 years later. I said, hello. He didn't know who I was. I never showed up to class, but that is, no one knows him. I'm another face in the chart on the map. I'm on a list in the ballpark telephone book. 61 Cohens. I'm looking, you know, a guy bumps into Flapper. You know where Baruch Cohen lives? In Flatbush? Well, let's look in the phone book. Six pages of Cohens. Four of them are Baruch Cohen. Oh, he's married to Shira. Oh, only 2 pages of Baruch Marriage to Shira Cohen. He has the same name as everybody in the shul. They have 10 guys with the same name. Okay, looks a little different. What does a person have to go with a lifetime understanding of it? That is, that each person, each and every one of us, our job, as an individual, is to be an ambassador. We are an ambassadors to bring out Kavod Shamayim. But just like we saw Hashem's revelations at Keli Vanveyu, that Keli Vanveyu, the Gemara says, I will emulate him. And in that mind, by me emulating Hashem, in that itself, people will say, Zekeli, this is a God. Wow, look at that person's actions. Look at that person's deeds. Look at that person's characteristic traits. Look at his chesed. Look at his rachamim. Look what a yid is. And that's our tafkid, Zekeli Vanveyu. We have to build a base on Migdash. And bring Hashem's name down. But the Gemara in Shabbos is another pshat, as we said. That Keli Vanveyu, I have to bring Hashem's name and emulate him. And that is that Keli, the world sees it, Hashem. What inspired me, Rabbi Sai, to give this shmuz, Rabbi Sai? I was really looking at the Mishpacha magazine from a few weeks ago, Rabbi Sai. And there's an ad for a hotel for Pesach. I'm looking for a job, so if I'm a good speaker, then, what inspired me was an article on my site a few weeks ago, which talked is something that just gave me a very, very big chizuk on my site. And that's why I wanted to speak about it. And it could be you saw it, could be you didn't see it, but it's good to hear about it on my site. And that is the $98,000 question. I'm not offering it, but there was a $98,000 question. There was a younger man, he's a Rebbe, talking to Yeshiva in New Haven, Connecticut. Name is Kedayim to Mepharsim. People that do good acts, the boy said, Noach Muroff, that's his name, that's the point of the article. And he had bought a desk online, and he had purchased it from a lady, a Rogoish lady somewhere, and in that desk, he was trying to put it into his study, into his room to learn from. He found $98,000 inside the desk, cash. And he returned right away. He said it wasn't too much of a shayla, because he understood what he had to do, that even though Api Halacha could be an Avedis Goyis Mutter, it's permitted Api Halacha, but as the Shulchan Aruch says, Ravad, it's a Kiddush Hashem. Give it back. If it will cause a Kiddush Hashem, it's Kiddush Hashem. And he went and he took his kids in the van and he brought it over and he brought the money to the lady and he gave it back to her, and the lady was mamash astonished that a human being could go ahead and give back such a large amount of money. And she was very inspired. But it didn't stop there. He felt that there was something that could be a Kiddush Hashem for others to hear about. So he asked Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky what he should do about it. And Reb Shmuel said, go and fasten it to the world. Reb Shmuel, the Roshiva, or the Gedolei of America, he said, go and fasten it to the world. Go to CNN. And he went to CNN and he told over his story. And after a while, every different newspaper and magazine and all the company, the big talk shows in America, called this rabbi, or he's a rebbe, and Yeshua, called him down to interview him about this tremendous act that the whole world is talking about. And he went down, and he talked about it, and the Maisa, the inspiration, the Kiddush Hashem that it made, Rabbi Yisrael. It's an unbelievable zach, Rabbi Yisrael. He says over here in the article, and he was invited to do a talk show in Chicago. On the way back at the airport, there was a guy sitting next to him. And he heard that he was from Connecticut. He was telling us he was from Connecticut. So he said, do you know that rabbi? The whole world was talking about it. Do you know that rabbi, this guy was sitting next on the plane? You know that rabbi who returned the money? So he says, yeah. He said, I know him pretty well. I realize it's him. He said, the guy with mom was going, can I take a picture with you? And this big, you know, bully guy, you know, sitting there with his mustache, handlebar mustache, making it up. But some guy was sitting there, you know, a picture with this guy. And he said, the guy said to him, I'm the forklift business. Whenever you need to, if you need a good deal, I'll give you a good deal. Call me up. So, and he got back to New Haven, so he went to the gym, the local gym. So all the guys go play the basketball. So when he came there, in that week, after the incident was publicized, so a group of goyim were playing there before. I guess you know the goyim. They put down the ball and they gave him a standing ovation in the gym. Put down the ball and everybody started to clap. The goyim were impressed with it. But he brings over here Gavala to think that I want to maybe read parts of it. Somebody wrote him a letter. I guess a friend of his or somebody. Your good deed, Rabbi Muroff, your good deed may have been performed in New Haven, Connecticut, but your good name extends far beyond, including to the rural town, some 1,386 miles due west where I work. My partner and I are in the shechita business. Recently, we sealed a deal to produce black kosher beef in a small town. So first, they had to be there, and it's very cold winters, they had to be there. So first, we rented motel rooms for the group of Shechtin, but they realize after a while for this project that the Shechtin are going to have to bring, they're going to have to need a place of their own. They have to get check out every day, it's 11 o'clock, how can they refresh? They have to refresh every day. So he said that this guy says, I live in Dallas where the word rabbi connotes thoughtful and genteel, and there's a warm predisposition to Jews. This Midwestern town in which we work is the home to a population of German and Norwegian descent that is generally pleasant but essentially private. Maybe the cold weather. So the guy asked him when he was looking for a place, how many people are in your family? A gentleman asked when I called to follow up on the four-end sign. It's for me and three friends, I said quickly. Realizing how less than perfect that sounded. Didn't sound so good. You bring three guys to rent the thing, just guys. Doesn't sound so. We work in a slaughterhouse down the road, I hear. The line went quiet. It's for rabbis, for four rabbis, I said, hoping for religious reprieve from the impending judgment. Four rabbis. We're not interested, the homeowner said before hanging up. The only place in town that would rent without hesitation was at the back of a large, worn-out mansion, turned multiple family dwelling, with a young, aimless couple sitting on the porch giving me a once-over. This wouldn't work even for the hardiest of shirts. Friend of the place suggests I speak to a local real estate and we schedule a meeting after work. His office was on the main road, a small, neat building across the street from McDonald's. The realtor, a thoughtful guy, checked me out carefully. She was looking for a house for rabbis, he asked. He said, yeah, he nodded. We have had rabbis here before, he said. Unfortunately, they haven't always kept their places up.
We had rabbis here before, but the rabbis there didn't give a good impression. There was one rabbi in town years ago, he said, who always wore black. Even this summer he wore black. He never went home. Turns out he didn't get along with his wife. That's why he stayed. Sad story, he wasted all the money he made. He got sucked into the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. Poor guy thought the more subscriptions he purchased, the more chance he had to win. The conversation wasn't going well. He was talking deliberately and filling me out. Did you hear about the rabbi back east who found money? What was it? $70,000, $80,000? The real estate yet? I returned it yet. I jumped on it and said, yes, I said. That rabbi is from my community. He went to the same network of schools that I attended. We are very proud of him, I said. Amazing that he did it, the broker said. He paused. You know, let me call the pastor about his place. He has a 5-room bedroom house. I know he wouldn't want to rent it to a group of single men, but you guys seem not. Why not? We drove to the house, and shortly after we signed the lease. But I found he bought it from God. I mean, Muruf, I want to reassure you that before moving in, I contacted the local lawn guy. He said there's no need to care for the lawn until spring when the grass begins to grow. He also said that because we have no sidewalks, we have no need to schedule snow removal. So we have arranged for someone to clean the house each week and have reminded the rabbis not to slam car doors when arriving late at night. The street is quiet and the culture is reserved. The quieter and less conspicuous we can be, the better. Your good deed got us in the door. I promise that we will do all we can to keep it open for others. Signed, Yaakov. Rabbi, this guy, I don't know where he was, he says he learned the Beis Yisrael. He was a regular guy, like you and me, and his Kiddush Hashem in the world, was that the whole world talked about it. Some Midwestern town, they don't know about anything, invited rabbis to stay in the house. It would have been very, very hard because they heard about a guy that returned money in New Haven, Connecticut. People stopped and cheered. Goyim walked up, thousands of letters of Goyim offering different things. Rabbi said, he writes in the article, how many people called him and said that something is very, very special about this. So the Shaldor Rabbi said, a plain Jew. Nothing, it seems, he's a plain Jew. But you have to realize, Rabbi said, he represented godliness in this world. He showed the world what a true Yid is supposed to be. And this, Rabbi said, every single one of us can do and has to do. That's what we're here for. Zekeli va'anvenu. This is our God, and we will emulate him. We'll bring his great name to the world. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care if you're going to be learning Torah a whole day. And certainly if you're learning a whole day, you have even a bigger chiyuv. Or you're learning Torah for an hour a day. For one thing, Rabbi Sam, one thing you have to always remember. You are Yid, and you're an ambassador for the Bnei Hashem's name in this world. On a plane, in a train, in a car, how I drive, how I talk, how I go into stores, wherever it will be, I represent the Bnei Hashem. And the way I act can have an unbelievable effect on an entire universe. One Yid returned money. It was a large sum. And he returned the money, and the whole world looked on Yidden differently. They realized there's godliness in Yidden. Yidden are special. Yidden are unique. Yidden have a special neshama. There is no reason why we all can't follow this act. It was an act. Follow this mice in our daily lives, Rabbi. You walk into a store, you talk to somebody, you show that you're a Yid, Rabbi. You show that Yid is holy. The Goyim look on you like that, the rabbi, like Shmuel said, Kamenetsky told him, you have to go on and tell them you're a rabbi, because when you hear the word rabbi, what do they start to think? Who knows, they see too many newspaper headlines with rabbis on it. And not pictures of them in the base classes, Rabbi Sam. It doesn't talk about
how they daven mincha over there, and those articles, swindling, yenevis, this, that, and they looked as rabbis. As the BBC said in the article, when he was interviewed by the BBC, it must have been very hard for you and tempting to you, especially for a rabbi, the BBC said. Especially because you're a rabbi. Where did they get that impression from? Chofetz Chaim once said that today everybody has a din from a rabbi. Everybody has a din, but that's how they look on you, Rabbi Yisrael. I'm ending, Rabbi Yisrael. We once said a story that there was a plane ride going from a domestic flight in the United States. And the plane was traveling and they experienced difficulties. The plane was having difficulties and the captain got on to the system, PA system, and he announced that the plane is having very, very bad difficulties. We're going to have to make a crash landing. We're going to have to make a difficult landing. Everybody prepare themselves for that type of landing. Now, no one knows anything because everybody's talking when they put on that thing in the front of the thing. No one knows what they're doing, but if someone starts to show, put your knees, your head on your knees, whatever it is, the whole thing, all laying, which Shnechat Hashem experience ever in our lives. And we have to repair. And the Maisa, there was a yid on the plane, a regular yid, a yid with a boy, a beard, and he was a little white, he had a little white in his beard, maybe a little more white. And he was sitting there, he took out a tehillim, and he started to daven with emotion. Never know, chatz v'chalila. Kitzur, the plane finally lands, safety. They're walking off the plane. And one of the stewardess calls over this yid. He said, Rabbi. Who's a rabbi today? Rabbi. I just have to tell you something. And the yid walks over to the stewardess and says, yeah, what did you want to tell me? Rabbi, you should know. Well, all the plane was looking to us. We're the stewardess, we're the plane. We take care of the plane. They were looking to us. We were looking to you for inspiration. I'm sure your prayers helped us land safely. We were looking to you for inspiration. The world knows, Rabbi Yisrael. The world understands that we're the Am HaNif, the chosen nation. And our job, we have to answer to a higher authority. And we have to represent a higher authority. That's our purpose in this world, Rabbi Yisrael. To bring out Yisgadal, Yisgadash, Shmei, Rabbo, to make Hashem's name great in this world, Rabbi Yisrael. That's our tafkid. Every single one of us could do it, Rabbi Yisrael. It's such an important lesson to know, Rabbi Yisrael. In this story, I was reading it, and I got inspired, I got chills. Such a yid that the world, the whole United States is talking about it. In a rural town, they're renting out houses. People are looking at rabbis differently. People look at yidin differently. Because they see the Elokos, they see the God there. You see, the Zekei Riva Anveyu. It's something that's an inspiration to all of us, Rabbi Yisrael. Whatever your name is, you have that opportunity, Rabbi Yisrael. You go to your local stores. You go to your local bakeries. You have goyim there. You go to your local supermarket. You go buy the newspaper. You go to buy the Mishpacha magazine. The Irish guy behind the counter. The Schwarzer in the kitchen. To hear, and he sees how you act, Rabbi Yisrael. The post office man, in the time of Nazi Germany, rescued a lot of Yidden. And he asked him why, at the end of the day, he didn't participate, and why he was so kind to the Yidden. So he said it because I knew a Jew. I knew a Jew that used to frequent our post office. And as many times he came to buy stamps. And when he used to purchase the stamps, so a few times, the first couple of times, I used to slip in a little bit extra change for him to see what's he going to do with it. And every single time, he brought back that extra change to the penny. Wow, he made a stupid mistake. The guy behind the counter, he has an IQ. I know why he's behind the counter. He couldn't get a job anywhere else. He made a fool. I bought two bananas. I gave him a dollar. And he gave me back a dollar. He couldn't figure it out. He gave me four quarters. I'm going to the, it's so funny, it's Gevaldik. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was that year, he returned every penny. And it made such an inspiration that he didn't get involved this boy in the Holocaust, and he helped Yidden out during the Holocaust. He was so inspired of the righteousness, of the Erlichkeit of the Yid. This is our path. Make Hashem's name great. Bring Hashem's name to the world, that Hashem should seek Hashem, Hashem Nikro. That's what we wear tefillin about. It's a Yoro, Kolami, Oretz, Kishem, Hashem. Hashem's name's called over. It doesn't mean only the tefillin. It means Eil tefillin Sheberosh, the Goyim says, in your head. You have to wear the tefillin on your head. You have to wear the tefillin in your head. What's the tefillin? Tefillin represents God's mightiness in the world. Zechel Tzitzis Mitzrayim. God is the ruler. He's in charge. How do we show that? By emulating Him. By showing His rulership. By showing His dominion in this world of us. We should understand this. Yisrael Boisai. Yisrael Tzitzis Shem Shemayim. There's no greater thing in the world of Boisai. And we can see how one year did it in such a big way. There's no greater thing, but we can do it every way. We talk kindly. We drive kindly. People get into a car, that's it. You know, I'm going to show who's boss. Road rage. People look out, who's that? The Shugana. You know, so you guy gets out of the car, Sitzis flying. He's proud to wear Sitzis. Just made the biggest chil Hashem in the world, but I'm proud to wear my Sitzis. Flowing out, his sisters are flowing out. Baruch Hashem, he just mamish, he almost got the whole, you know, interstate parkway into an accident with his weaving, a new weaving machine. Ariga, he wants to teach Ariga on Shabbos, weaving. So he wanted to Melacha on Shabbos, he wanted to teach the Melacha. He walks out of his car, big accident, sits his flog, big yarmulke on his head. Baruch Hashem, I want to show everybody I'm a Yid. I got into an accident, I caused a 7-car accident, Baruch Hashem, with my crazy speeding, and I'm showing, oh, look, Ma, no hands, only feet, you know, my knee driving is for. I'm teaching it now in the local, what's it called? In the driver's ed, there's a new thing called knee driving. You have to ask special for it, myself. There's special knees for it. Knee driving, no hands. He's talking on the phone, three phones, and he gets into an accident, kills, that's what's wrong with him. Where's the represent? That's not what a Yid's supposed to be doing with us. It's crazy. I was going with a car. And the last time I was here, someone was driving back from Bambi, from a wedding. He was driving me back. That was mom. I told him put the phone away already. He's crazy. He's driving $95. Walking on his phone. He's looking at me. I said, don't look at me so much. We'll don't look at each other afterwards. He's looking at his phone. He's looking at me. He's saying, missing cards by 2 minutes. And he goes, I said, you got to put that phone away. He has to text, and this, and that, and talk, and this. And what, like it's so important. You know, what's up? What's up? The guy's driving $95,000 going smashing cars. What's up? Oh, he's had to text back. I got to answer this text right here. What's up? Accident! The way we go around, because the guy goes into it, he makes a stop at it on a road trip, and then he goes in there and he starts making noise and yelling and talking and acting like a meshugana. It's very, very kishmak. It gives an impression. And who knows what that impression would do? Some people could look down on a Jew, some people could save a Yid because of that. Your impression could save a Yid. You don't realize. That's how the world looks on it. Tell the story. There was a true story, another true story. But Yidden are known for their mice and toivim, and they're known for their goodness, they're known for their giving, and they're known for their care about others. He said, he's saying a story, but I said it over one time. It's been on Chavesh. I said also, but they said it's a story that people say that has some truth to it. If it doesn't have truth, it could be a true story. There was a guy driving down one time the highway. And he saw a guy sitting there with a yarmulke. He stopped the car, and another Yid. There's another Yid in a bad situation. He stopped his car. Even if it's another, he stopped his car. It was a Yid. He stopped his car. So he went out and he stopped the car and he pulled over to the side. He says, you know, he went over to the guy. Can I help you? He looks at the guy. The guy almost looks Puerto Rican. He's thick. So he thought maybe he's like. You know, Ger, the Ger. You know, he probably worked in Lakewood for a few years. You know, he picked him up on the street over there. He became a Yid. After a while, he worked a Yid from house. He became a Yid. Now he's running the shop. Anyway, but he gets a. So the mice. So he picked up this. He's looking again and again. No doubt about it. This guy's Puerto Rican. So he thought, okay, it could be it's a Ger. Maybe the Ger. He walks over. He sees a big yarmulke on his head, black velvet yarmulke. Probably got in Lakewood. In the bookshop in Lakewood, Judaica, whatever it is. Anyway, he sits over them and he sees it. Well, what's one problem? That has a big, you know what it is about Sasha. One of those big zach around his neck. And it's not Mogain David. The kids are, he's wearing one of those big, we know what it is. Anyway, he's wearing one of those around his neck. He says, excuse me, sir, I want to help you. And I'm going to help you. Anyway, just... I have a small question. You know, maybe his mom's Jewish. You know, anyway, but the kids are, so I have a small question. You know, you're wearing that keep on your head. You look Jewish. But, you know, it doesn't seem that you're Jewish. He says, man, I ain't Jewish. But what's that thing on your head? He said, why are you wearing it? My mom said that whenever my car breaks down, take this out of the glove compartment and put it on. Somebody's going to stop. Somebody's gonna stop. Yidin Chaveirim Hatzala Rabbosai. Yidin are out there in the world showing the world that we care about humans, Rabbosai. We care about people, we care about Yidin. Make Hashem's name great, Rabbosai. Be from the Mekadshei Shem Shemayim. The worst Aveira Chas V'Shalom is the other way around. A Mechalel Shem Shemayim, it says Chazal, Ein Loi. Tshuva. There's no tshuva for Bechal Shem Shemayim. Some say you have to know me from the Kaddish Shem Shemayim. Until Misa Chas V'Shon. Bechal Shem Shemayim. And call Yisrael Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. All Mitzuvim. There's no one who's excluded. Call Yisrael, says the round back head. Call Yisrael Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. Let's work on this Midah Rabbi side. Let's people emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more Torah that we learn, That makes our actions, we understand the right way to go and the way to emulate Hashem. And if we'll be those people that emulate Hashem, and show the world, that's our job, we have to show the world the right way. We're supposed to lead the world, we're supposed to be the ambassadors to represent and to lead the world. Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, wear those tefillin, but don't just wear it. Have it on your mind. Have it in your actions. Show the world. Kishem Hashem Nikola. The Yor will be Mecca. They will fear you. They will fear HaKadosh Baruch. Zeuchah to that big day, Rabbi said. When the whole world comes, as we said today in the Pirushat Yeshiva Loi, Kol Ha'oretz, the whole world will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yat V'shiyasikeinu.